Round one, fight!
The Grim Reaper Gamers are a 25 and over gaming community with members spanning the globe, playing games across all genres, but our roots are in first-person shooters. Bring your thick skin, drink of choice, and grab your controllers. GRG members are on nightly with official community nights every Wednesday. And now, it's time for the ReaperCast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grim Reaper Gamers ReaperCast. We have got a big show today. It is our best of 2017. So let's get started here. We got four accounted for in this show, along with including myself. So let's go around the table. Second chair, I'm going to change things up a little bit. Representing the PS4 and our overseas contingent in the UK, Unobtainables. How you doing, buddy? What you drinking? What you playing?
Hey, Johnny. I'm drinking a cider, which is my preferred drink of choice, called Thistley Cross Cider. And I found it when I went up to Edinburgh earlier this year, and it's one of the few ciders that I've liked enough to distinctly remember the brand name and make a conscious effort to look out for it. And I'm still liking it now, so that's good. What am I playing? Well, earlier tonight I had a hugely failed attempt to play The Elder Scrolls Online when I realized I didn't actually own the game. I just downloaded a free trial a while ago, still had that lingering around, and because at least on PlayStation it shows up on the home console just like the real game would, I thought I had it still, so that was pretty stupid of me. But what I've actually been playing is Fortnite, Persona 5, and a little bit of Warframe just here and there and amongst. So yeah, I'm really liking Persona 5 mostly. That's an amazing game. Really weird, but really good.
Gonna have to ask you sometime what that game's about. I still have not quite understood what that game is. Even trying to watch some Twitch channels about it, so
yeah, I'm not sure I could explain it, and I'm pretty sure it's gonna slowly like do that evolve thing as I play on. So I'd probably not even be able to, even if I told you everything of what I've done so far, that's probably not everything about it. But it's good.
I've heard a lot about it, but I have never tried the series, so. Hear a lot of good things, though. So, moving to chair number three, we actually have a new member spotlight tonight. It's been ages, and it's great to have another one on here. Recent member of GRG, Valiant Victory. Valiant, how are you? What you drinking and what you playing?
I'm good. I am drinking a Not Your Father's root beer. And I am playing Destiny 2. And I recently downloaded The World of Tanks. That's fun. But probably the most new thing I've been playing, I probably have about 10 or 15 games of PUBG. And I kind of like that. And go out there and Hunger Games it for a while.
It is a fun one. We'll be talking a lot more about that through the show. So we'll have this member spotlight here in a little bit, but let's get to the fourth chair. He is my co-host tonight. Jammer, unfortunately, is not feeling well. He has got the derp. Get better soon. Doesn't kick your ass like he kicked mine a while back. So tonight in the second chair is the head grumpkin, the grimmest of all the Reapers, Lala Calamari. Jack, how the hell are you? What you drinking? What you playing?
Well, I think Jammer caught the diva. So he's right now, he's out sick with the diva. Now I have two divas on the podcast. I thought, you know, after he gave you a lot of crap for Nebraska not having medicine and you being sick for like, 4 months, that he would, you know, in Connecticut, be able to get healed within a proper amount of time. But he's been, sick for like 2 weeks now, fevers and all sorts of stuff. So maybe we should send some medicine up to Connecticut as well. Anyway.
They apparently don't have health care.
No. He should probably wear some Ugg boots, keep his feet warm, like Tom Brady up there. That would probably help him out a little bit. Right now I'm drinking some Brooklyn Lager, just kind of my go-to beer at the moment. And what am I playing? I could mention a whole bunch of games, but really it comes down to just PUBG. I log in a bunch of games for my daily rewards and then switch over to PUBG. I get frustrated and aggravated, and I actually got my chicken dinner last night.
Still working on my chicken dinner. Top.
Yeah, me. I actually got three. Mower guy, digital in Texas. They kind of got me in there because I kind of got screwed at the very end. I live, but I made a bad mistake with trying to reload. Regardless, got the chicken dinner, got a kill, pegged a few guys, so everything's good.
Now I'm led to believe that you have a rant that is kind of tied to what you're playing.
Yes. So I'm going to revisit a past rant, and right now I'm calling out PUBG. As much as I love playing the game, I'm all into it, and I understand that it's an early access release, I still got to, you know, blast it for the piss poor quality. You know, they had the patch with some major FPS drops. I don't know if that's been fixed because I got an Xbox X and it's running a little bit better than it was before. But I still notice when you're driving around the car, you have like terrible frame drops. Everything's just shaky and jittery. Also, one of the biggest problem we're having right now is just getting disconnected during the games. We can never seem to have a full party stick together. Last through the entire game, someone always drops, and it's just kind of, it kills the flow of the game. You kind of have to wait and protect that person. It's a big disaster. I don't know. I guess the reason I get so upset about this is it's been out since March on the PC. You figure they iron out these stupid little bullshit issues, but nope, we still have them, and it's frustrating because the game's a really fun game to play, but it's so broken, and it shouldn't be that way. And I think, you know, we get these games early access. I think PUBG should have ran a little bit better. I don't know.
I'm not going to disagree with you there. And that's the thing about early access. I mean, now there's been, you know, two early access games that I've been a big fan of, PUBG and Ark. And both of them are the same way. You know, they just come out and you love them despite all their issues. So it's a double-edged sword at best with the early access stuff, because you're really kind of stretching your neck out with issues.
I get it if it was brand new game, but this has been out for what, almost a year on PC. I mean, it's really just kind of a port from the PC world. You know, you think that there's really not much to change. Xbox and PCs are so similar,
right? And Ark was the same way. It was about a year after, and buggy as hell.
I'm hoping we see some big patches this week or next week, fix at least the dropping issue. I don't know. I'd love to see them give you an ability to remap the UI, the user interface, because that's a disaster. That's a whole other thing. That's just them porting the game over from PC. I'm sure it works fine on a PC with a keyboard and 8 million buttons to choose from, but when you have a controller, it is just a disaster. Trying to navigate with just the few buttons you have on that controller, and things just aren't what you're used to as a third-person shooter. You know, you were used to a specific layout, and this just throws that all out the window. And whatever, I'm slowly learning it. It's frustrating. That's not the biggest deal. It's just the game drops, the frame drops. You know, releasing games like that in that condition, it's just, they shouldn't do it. I mean, they should have held it for a week or two. I know they wanted to get out before Christmas and push that sales, but meanwhile, we're dealing with a shit-tastic game.
Yeah.
That's fun to play. It's just, it's maddening. You know, otherwise, I would, you know, uninstall and move on, but.
It is. It's a little bit rough there, but. And, you know, I think it's the way that things are going with early access. We'll talk a little bit more about their plans later on as well. So we might revisit a couple things even then. But let's go ahead and move over to the member spotlight. Like I said a little bit ago, Valiant Victory, a fairly recent member of GRG. He's already told you what he's been playing of late, so let's go through the interrogation process. What do you say?
Sure.
First question here on the list is, gamer tags and PSN IDs are almost always tell us something about the owners. Why don't you tell us about yours?
I don't know if any of you guys ever watched Star Trek, but in the original series, anytime you saw another ship, another starship, you knew that they were going to destroy it, right? In the original series of Star Trek, There was a ship named Valiant, and then they brought it again, that same ship name, back in DS9. I don't know if you guys ever watched that show. Well, anyway, that show, they brought back a ship named Valiant, and they destroyed that one too. So I said, I'm bringing it back. So I decided to make that my gamer tag when I came over, and it survived. So that's for the victory, meaning instead of being destroyed, Valiant survived. So that was kind of how it came about.
Right.
Kind of goofy, but, you know, it's my own thing.
It's all right. And now we found you're a Trekkie.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. What brought you to GRG in the first place?
Well, this may be a bad omen, but I had two Destiny clans. My first Destiny clan disbanded right when Destiny 2 came out, because half the group went to the PlayStation. And the second group, I joined, and it was alive for, you know, 3 weeks, and then it died. And then I was looking online for a group that had an active community that wasn't necessarily built around the game, and I found you guys pretty quickly, and it seemed like you guys were kind of like me, kind of older. And I think that's what I kind of liked, is that most of the other stuff, especially my old clan, was highly competitive in Destiny. And that was tough for me, because I was the worst player. And it was nice to find people that are about my play level. And I, you know, I put an application in, and I listened to ReaperCast 69 before I put my application in. So that was cool.
And you still joined. That's impressive.
I did.
That is very impressive. Okay, how long have you been gaming? And what's the first game that you played?
Okay, so I had an Atari and all that other stuff. I remember playing some of that stuff as a kid, but what I'm going to say, my first official real gameplay was the original Nintendo in 1986 with Super Mario. Super Mario and the original Zelda were the first two games I played all the way through as a gamer. And I think that's when I believe that I became a gamer, was those two on the original NES. And, you know, it was like a different kind of thing. Before that, you played with game systems like they were toys. After that, it was like a job as a kid, you know? So that was probably a turning point for me.
Okay. Speaking of jobs, assuming that you are not a professional gamer, what is your day job?
This is about as exciting as it gets for me. I'm an accountant as my day job. And I do that most of the time. I also am a part owner in a timing company. We time running races, road races, and, you know, those types of things. And, you know, just so I can stay busy on weekends and, you know, something else that takes me away from gaming. So between those two, there's certain times a year that I work like 7 days a week. So that's kind of my day job deal.
So what's a good watch for that?
What's a good watch?
Watch for one time.
We have about $60,000 tied up in timing systems, and we don't use a watch very much. Although I do use my Apple Watch to kind of gauge, you know, where we are, but that's not the system. But sometimes if you want to tech out, I'll get all geek techie on the how timing systems work. It's pretty crazy stuff. You know, we all hardline stuff. So Wi-Fi, you can use wireless for stuff, but there's a lag, and there's also that you can drop. We can't have that in what we do. So we hardline everything. Mm. So that's like, you know, welcome back to 1999, right? Hardline. Yeah.
Good old wired. All my stuff's wired down here.
Don't wire to the wood paneling.
Yeah, right. Wire to the wood paneling.
So I think we kind of segued into the next question inadvertently here. Besides gaming, what else do you enjoy doing? Something that other GRG members may not know.
I'm Iron Man. I mean, I am Iron Man. I do triathlon and running and that kind of stuff. So that's some of my fun stuff that I do. I'd like to think that I swim and bike and run a lot, but with kids and two jobs, I don't do as much as I used to. So
yeah, that all ends.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
All ends.
In 2013, when my daughter was born in 12, so in 13 I did an Ironman, and the idea of training 20 hours a week That's a joke. That'll never happen again. But I have the tattoo that says I'm an Iron Man, so I guess they can't take that away.
That was how, without some real abrasion.
Yep, that's
real bad.
Cut my leg off, whatever.
All right, what is your favorite game of all time? And on the other side of that coin, what is the most hated game you've ever played?
So that's a tough one, because I'll start with the one that I like the least, because usually I play games that I know I'm going to like, or I just drop them. They're done, uninstalled, thrown away. I'm not going to, unless it's something where you play it all the way through and you feel like you got screwed. And I have two examples of games that I hate. Mass Effect 3 and Final Fantasy 7. And why I hate Mass Effect 3 is they did not do a good job with the ending. They try to retcon, they do some stuff, but God, they really hurt me. After three games, I must have had 1,000 hours into those three games combined. And I get to the end. I mean, that's 1,000 hours is a halftime job for a year. And, oh, sorry for the noise on the mic, but
poor Crex. Just hurt Crex's feeling. That's, I think, his favorite game, or one of them.
I'll tell you what, the second one's the one that shocks me.
What, the sex scenes, or
no, the second know. One, the Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. So Final Fantasy VII, is also my favorite game. So I can say it's my favorite and my least favorite. I love the game. I'll go back and I've played it three times through my life. I'll play it again, the remastering it. Or probably by now, remastered. I just haven't gotten around to it. But what hurt me is they, and I hope this isn't a spoiler for anybody that's not played it, is they killed Aeris.
Oh my God, you just ruined it. I can't play it now. Unplayable. Thank you.
I think 15 years, I think 15 years passes the statute of limitations for spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah, but like Sephiroth killed the character that we all kind of fell in love with. So, like, and I'm 20 years old, 19 years old, playing an epic game on my first PlayStation with four discs to play through, and quite near the end, Sephiroth kills her, and I'm like, it's just, we lose a major character in your party. It just, it changes everything after that. And I feel like I was half dead myself playing the rest of the game. So I love the game, but they killed my character. They killed my character. She was my main, like, jam. I didn't care about Cloud. She was my thing. So anyway, I love the game, but it hurt me that they killed her. So anyway, best and worst.
By the way, 20 years on Final Fantasy VII. I knew that was wrong when I said 15.
But, yeah, I had that. I actually had that game. I think I played it for an hour and then threw it aside. It was a PlayStation. It was on the original PlayStation.
The original PlayStation in what, 1995?
Yeah. That was my first Final Fantasy. I love that game. But no, I get what you mean, though. I mean, I get what you're saying in there, too, how that can have a love-hate thing going on. But
game was great, but it hurt me. It was like, and I think the emotional thing is what got me, like, made it my favorite game at the same time. I hate that they did that. They could have done something, anything else. But yeah.
So I had a quick question to throw out there.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I noticed a lot of newer guys, they came in, they're playing Destiny, between you, Mower Guy, and Rigon. Mm-hmm. So how's it feel taking over our raiding schedule?
Well, you know, it was something where we wanted to do it, and it kind of worked out. Mower Guy wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. So, you know, we keep finding people to do it. What was really cool is, I don't know the last time you guys ran two raids concurrently, but last Saturday we did two. We had two groups.
Yeah, that's what I saw on the post. That was really cool. I was glad to see that, because usually a lot of people wait for staff to do stuff, and we may not necessarily play in the game. I've moved on from Destiny. I may revisit later down, but at least some else is picking up and organizing some squads, and that's great. Because I think the last time we had two raids going for Destiny, it was Destiny 1. We had like two or three raid groups running at a time.
Yeah, I didn't know it was supposed to be a staff thing. I just figured, like, we get together and we make it happen.
It's not.
It doesn't have to be a staff thing, and that's one of the nice things about when guys like you come in and want to do stuff like that. We don't have a monopoly on events. It might be a one-way trip to being part of staff, and good luck if that's what happens. But but no, we don't have any kind of, I mean, GRG is a community. So if we got people out there who want to run their own events, run them. You know, I mean, the only thing we need to do there is just approve the event after you or set it up or approve it or whatever, and put it on so it gets on the calendar. Otherwise, if you want to throw a forum post up, members of GRG, do it. We will not be hurt one bit if you're looking for an event and you see that we're not running it, feel free.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I saw the two fire teams go, and I was like, that's excellent.
It was cool, and what's crazy is we've been stuck on one part on a new raid for weeks. And again, it's fun. It's still fun, and a lot of big thing is that we have a good time doing it, right? So this week, we break into two groups, and both groups made it to the next thing, which was the last phase of the boss. I'm like, what are the odds? We were complaining. We're like, the other group, we were saying the other group is going to make it through. We get to the very end. What I mean by the end is it's like our 11th try. All right, this is it. It's 1:30 in the morning. We're going to finish it up, and you know, we'll do one more attempt. And we did it. And we were so like freaked out. Like, what do we do now? What do we do? Like, so we went on to the next phase, and we did it. And then again, then we got to be after two by the time we finally, kind of did what we could. But I think we made like three attempts at that next phase, but now we've got the confidence. And again, we were like, the other group, I bet you they did it, so we have to. And that was funny, because we both made it to the same thing. So Mower's group and our group did. But now we're like, we were saying, okay, then they stick together, we stick together, because we don't want to mess up our team. So we call ourselves the B team or whatever. Our group has to stay together to do it again. So good stuff.
Well, that's great. That is great to see. Great to see those fire teams get going. Good to see some activity in Destiny again. So keep it up. We appreciate it.
For sure. I still have fun in the game. I know there's negativity out there, but the raids and all that stuff, we're still having fun.
Yeah, I got to get some time in there so I can see at least the second raid. I've done most of the first raid. Didn't complete it through like one sitting. This raid lair I need to go visit. So at some point I'll get there.
We're playing.
All right. Well, thanks, Valiant. We appreciate it, and glad to have you on for the first time, and hopefully bring you on more often in the future as well. So have you on the show.
Invite me back. This is way cool.
All right. Going great. So, okay, let's talk about some community night stuff. As always, check out GrimReaperGamers.com/events for the calendar. And as always, especially for those impromptu events like Saturday night's raids, check out the forums, forums.grimreapergamers.com. Check those out. And, as usual, you know, community nights are Wednesdays. We have some Call of Duty going on. We have some PUBG. Ark's still holding out strong. As you can see, Destiny is still attracting everybody for the raids and the events. So plenty of stuff going on Wednesday nights and throughout the week. So again, check those out at the events page at grimreapergamers.com and on the forums. Let's get into some gaming news. We got just a little bit, pretty slow with the holidays and everything, just starting to pick back up. Some rumors coming out for the Nintendo Switch. The Nintendo Direct is coming January 11th, a week from Thursday. And what kind of happened as that rumor started popping up that has people really wondering if this is coming soon, is Amazon listed 18 Switch games and peripherals. They just listed as TBA. No titles, nothing. Ranging from like $60 to $100. Some speculation that some games, some collector's editions, possibly some new Joy-Cons, because there's been a rumored redesign of the Joy-Con for the Switch. Switch is picking up some speed here. Could they be talking about 2018?
I don't know. We'll see. You got to see what's going to be released. Like I said, I like the Switch. I think it's a pretty decent little device if you want to replace your iPad mobile gaming system. But as far as the regular console sit in front of the TV, it's not for me. And I know my kid, when he plays it, he's playing mostly mobile as well.
I don't think I've ever put mine in the cradle yet.
Nah.
I think the last time it was in the cradle was when I unboxed it. And it's been immobile for me ever since. Actually, at Christmas time, we took it out, started playing Mario Brothers 2-player. That was pretty dang fun having it leaned up again, kind of how they show in the commercial and stuff. Pretty interesting. So the speculation, there's been a various ones. You know, I think they're talking possibly hype before 2018 and E3. And one I heard was GTA possibly as a game coming out on the Switch. That'd be interesting. Portable
GTA
Grand Theft
5?
Auto. Yeah. GTA 5 portable. That'd be something.
I'm assuming like that would probably just be the single player, not the multiplayer. I wonder if they would. I don't know how big the cartridges are for the Switch.
Well, I think they're 32 gig right now because they don't have the 64 gig. They said that's coming out maybe next year, the 64 gig cartridge. So
they do have the SD card. You can. Well, I mean, they have. It has the slot for the SD card. It obviously doesn't come with one. You have to buy your own.
Right.
But
right. Yeah. The SDs
you can download stuff.
Yeah. The SDs. Yeah. Cause I've got like a 200 megabit or a 200 gigabit. SD, but I guess I was talking the actual cartridge, the physical cartridge for games, not the digital downloads. So that's what I was referring to as far as 32 gig versus 64 coming out next year.
Yeah. Just on the potential of this Nintendo Direct, I did kind of read something earlier about it. Just again, it's all kind of rumors and stuff. Obviously, we haven't heard anything from they clarify. Confirming any of this, but I think there was also a leak from EA, some emails that had gone through to one guy that he kind of shared on the internet that looked pretty legit, that was about a game from EA that was going to be on the Switch, and it talked about that being revealed in a Nintendo Direct in January. There was another one of those kind of bloggers who has leaked Nintendo stuff before. Sometimes she's been accurate, sometimes inaccurate, but she said January 11th was going to be the date of the Direct as well. So, you know, there's a few different things here. They're all kind of pointing to mid-January and potentially January 11th. And I think in the last couple of years, they've done one kind of early or mid-January as well. So, although it hasn't been confirmed yet, it does seem like there's a decent amount of rumor behind it rather than just kind of one unsubstantiated source. So I'm pretty confident it's going to happen. And I think, yeah, they want to continue riding this Nintendo Switch success. So especially since Mario's already come out, Zelda's come out, obviously they're not going to have another title for either one of those anytime soon. And those are arguably their biggest titles. So if they want to keep pushing the sales and keep it going, I think they need to keep communicating and keep talking about, you know, other games that are going to come out or other features or whatever else they're going to bring out for the Switch.
Hmm. Yeah, and I know they're trying to push 20 million this year. So 20 million sold this year. So we'll have to see what all that entails. We'll have to, I guess, we'll find out soon. We'll probably cover it in another show here soon. So going on to the news, PUBG hits 3 million concurrent players on Steam alone and has aims to be on every platform, saying that Sony is very strict on quality while they're at it.
Hmm.
So you think that's going to delay them a little bit?
Yeah, I think. Okay, yeah. Well, first of all, I think maybe you'll see it for that Switch announcement you're talking about. There'll be PUBG for the Switch. But yeah, for Sony, I guess they kind of want a quality game. They're probably a little upset that they went with timed exclusive with MS, so they're just probably trying to throw a little shade on the PUBG over that nonsense. Yeah, I think that, you know, if they were going to release to other titles, they really got to fix things. I think they kind of wanted to throw it out for the Xbox to get out before Christmas, and that's why we got it in the state it was in. I don't know. We'll see. You know, the CEO of PUBG, he keeps saying, like, you know, he wants to make sure that he gets the Xbox running at, like, I guess, release one, before they start focusing on other consoles. But then they want to put on everything else. So I guess the only thing left is the PS4. I don't think you can run it any on a Switch. And what else is there?
Switch would be tough.
Fit with their style either. It just doesn't. Nintendo is very PG.
But I think Nintendo's trying to break out of that a little bit with the Switch. I mean, we've already heard it. I mean, we've seen L.A. Noire come out. GTA being rumored, or at least another Rockstar game, it sounds like, is confirmed, but GTA is the rumor. I mean, Rockstar stuff, unless you're going to be talking ping pong, is usually the usually M-rated, so I don't think they have too many things that aren't. So, be interesting to see. Now I think horsepower is what's going to hurt Switch with the PUBG. I just don't see them being able to scale that thing down to play on the Switch effectively. And Nintendo's online service, a little bit wonky right now anyway. I don't know how that's all gonna go. So I'd pretty much write that one off.
Fortnite will be there, I suspect. Because the kids like that.
That could be an Unreal. There's been some Unreal Engine stuff running on it already, even though it wasn't supposed to support it. So wouldn't be the first time, and that's got a little more stylized, so it could work a little better.
Yeah, it's cartoony. I think that allows them to bring the graphics quality down and still make it playable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also kind of almost diminishes the violence in a way. Like, you know, if it's or disappears, it's nothing the same as a more realistic humanoid figure. Or, you know what I mean? I think kind of you know, collapsing and or there being some blood spatter or something like that instantly seems to make it much more violent.
Yep, I agree. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there with PUBG and what it comes out on outside of what would probably be the obvious, and that'd be PS4.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move out of news. Let's get to our topic. As you know, 2017 ended 2 days ago. On with 2018, but let's revisit the games of the year. And we're going to break it down into some categories before our final game of the year. If you want to see the article version, Jack here put together one really good article pulling some community thoughts out and based on the community votes. It is at GrimReaperGamers.com. It's under our news. It is the Games of the Year 2017. Worth a read. We're going to touch on it here and feature some of that stuff going forward tonight. So let's start with best sports and racing. Go ahead.
Real quick before you start. These are GRG games of the year. So this is stuff our community picked. It may not be, you know, my kids were looking at the list and like, oh, what are you crazy? This should be here. This should be there. I'm like, no, this is what, you know, had an open poll and everybody in our community had an equal vote to what was the games of the year. And we pretty much stuck with it. Now I did fudge on one, but we'll get into that when we get there. These titles that we read off were picked from our community.
Yep, all voted on by GRG. So these are our biases, older gamer bias, what we liked in 2017. So let's go forward. Sports slash racing game of the year. This one I think was going to be pretty obvious from the get-go. It always has traction in GRG. It is Forza Motorsport 7.
Traction. I see what you did there.
You know what? Unintentional, but I did do well.
Now, this game is, it's just gorgeous. It's drop-dead gorgeous. So I had this with the Slim, the Xbox Slim, and with HDR TV, and I thought it sounded looked fantastic. Then I got the X and downloaded the 100 gig game package, and sure as shit, wow. It looks like you're actually playing, you're racing real cars. You're in a cockpit of a real car, and it's amazing. The gameplay, it's Forza. They are the top tier in racing for consoles, and they just improve upon it every year. There's something like 700 plus cars, all the different tracks that are laser mapped. It's fantastic, and it easily was the best sports racing game of the year.
And the visuals, like you said, are amazing on that, on any console. But when you go to the X, that was my thing. Is I have the old original one upstairs, and I have the other one downstairs. And you can, I ran the same scene on both just to see it. And there's some pixelation on the track, you know, on the original Xbox, and you can see like where the lines pixelate. It's, I swear if I went and videotaped it, there'd be more pixelation in a video of than on the Xbox. It's insane. So yeah, the Xbox X, it makes Forza just sing, and it makes it just a fun thing to do, like a just visually appealing. I find myself looking at scenery and stuff sometimes crashing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was quite amazed after the 100 meg download or 100 gig download. It was a brutal download, but
I don't play racing sims. Like not the proper serious ones. I kind of enjoy. But I'm just curious. Like, is there any other racing games like the serious can like Gran Turismo or anything like that, or is just Forza just miles ahead for some reason?
Well, I think Gran Turismo is Sony's equivalent of Forza, and it's probably very good, but Forza is just amazing. They really nailed it.
Okay, next category is best survival / battle royale game. They're kind of blurring the lines here, so we kind of combine them together. Kind of seem to be very similar games throughout these two genres. Our winner, fairly obvious, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Even as big a mess as it can be, as much hell as Connection can be, we still pick this one. I think it's pretty obvious. We love the adrenaline rush out of the game.
Yeah, no shit. I've gotten to the final 10 quite a few times. I've even got to the Mixer's Hype Zone there, where they show off who's going to get chicken dinner or who's possible to get chicken dinner. And you see my Mixer stream jump up like 300 people watching. Mm-hmm. I had that happen the other night. And just that tension, the stress, you know, getting down that low, you're in the final few circles, your palms are sweaty. It's ridiculous. Then you'll have games where you can't find shit and you die right away and you feel like throwing your controller through the TV. But you come back, you play more. I curse the game. I say I'm going to uninstall it every single night. And then next night I fire it back up and I'm in it. I don't know.
My 14-year-old got a kick of how often I was cussing during a round of PUBG. How I just started, you know, through the whole game. He's like, "Are you sure you're having fun?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm having a blast."
No, I'm not having fun. I hate this fucking game. Let's play again.
It's pissing me off, but especially when you get the jump on somebody and you can't find a weapon, and all you have are your fists against their shotgun and M16. That one didn't go well. You know, Fortnite, I think, is the most obvious runner-up. Because I think Fortnite Battle Royale really kind of filled the gap for Xbox players till that came out, and it's really, you know, it's doing well on PlayStation as the big Battle Royale alternative for that console. I saw Conan Exiles on here, and I thought, man, that was great at first, but they dropped the ball on content hard.
Well, why did GRG like that game? There's one slider. One slider.
The Wang slider.
Yep. So that's why that's there as a runner up.
Because size mattered. All right, on to best DLC or expansion. Warframe Plains of Eidolon.
Eidolon. Yeah, I guess that's how it's pronounced. I don't know.
I was trying not to say Eidolon. I think Eidolon is how it's pronounced. I have not actually seen it referred to in anything but print, so I have no basis other than my own good guess. But Warframe's had a lot of traction, really picked up the last year.
Well, it's really gotten a lot better. It's one of these games that started off very weak. People are like, why are you playing this game? And as they progressed over the years and added content and improved upon the game, it just gets that much better. And Plains of Eidolon basically takes Warframe, what you're so used to, and changes it all. Open world environment, it's a complete game changer. It's a totally different game. And it's a lot of fun to play. So that was an easy choice for best DLC. I wasn't surprised at this one at all.
Without that one, without having played that one, mine was probably going to be Ragnarok from Ark, out of best DLC. I think Battlefield 1 kind of missed the boat on the DLC myself. We have that down as a runner-up. They kind of blew it. We've talked many times how they messed up the premium pack by taking that too needed, long to...
Yeah, we should have gotten all four DLCs from them in the past year instead of just, what, two now?
Because they're trying to make it two-year cycles.
Yep.
So, best single-player game. Assassin's Creed Origin with runners-up Zelda Breath of the Wild and Horizon Zero Dawn. Who wants to weigh in on this one? I was a little surprised how this one came out.
I played none of the above, so I didn't even vote in this category.
I haven't played Assassin's Creed Origin. I never really got into the Assassin's Creed series. I think my vote was for Zelda Breath of the Wild. But I've seen several kind of comments. I've been reading the reviews and stuff because I've heard good things about Assassin's Creed Origins. I wanted to see kind of what people were saying about it, see if it was, if I thought it was worth the purchase and stuff. And clearly that series has been, it's like at least seven titles, I think, seven main titles at least. So for the let's say it's the seventh, to still get such kind of strong reviews or strong commentary. And clearly, winning a best single player game as well from GRG community. Clearly kind of proves that there's something still to it. And I think the one line summary seemed to be that, again, through seven titles, you're unlikely to have them all being peak or best game or like all improving on each other. So there's clearly been some dips up and down and there's some favorites. But it seemed like this one really brought in some freshness, kind of came back to some of the things that were good about the Assassin's Creed series, but at the same time had such a novel setting. That really kind of gave it some new kind of content there, I suppose. And at the same time, the visuals seem to be really blowing a lot of people away. They just, when someone's summing up a game or not necessarily, but using like a screenshot or something just iconic to show the view over a large swathe of land in Egypt and just being like, yeah, look at that view. And that's, they think like they don't need to say much more because that's showing it. That's clearly, that's clearly something that they're really enjoying about the game, just those visuals there.
I'd have to say I agree. I haven't played the game, but everything that I see about it is just graphical. And I don't hear anything about, gameplay or whatever, but all these people posting amazing pictures makes me want to play it just to see it.
Yeah.
They definitely took advantage of the 4K from what I've been seeing and hearing as, the enhancements of the 4K enhancements on the new consoles. They've really taken great advantage of that.
And I think they've added a lot to the game, too. They were saying mm-hmm. They added a different type of loot system, an RPG system. You can level up your character certain ways. So they've taken the base game and just increased things you can do within it. I honestly think if you look at these three titles, the best single player Assassin's Creed Origin or the two runner ups, I don't think you can go wrong with either any of the three titles if you want a single player title. So no, I think they're all pretty solid. And it was a close one. That was very, those numbers came down. It was very tight.
All right. We're going to combine the next two because they have the same winner and runners up. For categories of best first person shooter and best multiplayer game, we are back to Call of Duty. GRG gives Call of Duty World War II both best first person and best multiplayer. Runners up, Destiny 2, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
I would say about this, this doesn't surprise me in the slightest. GRG used to be a clan called Too Old to Shoot, and we were basically a Call of Duty clan. So a lot of the old timers, our roots are Call of Duty. And now you have Destiny. I mean, Destiny, my God. You have Call of Duty returning to boots on the ground. They're going back to that World War II game mode, that play style. And I think they really...
God for no jetpacks.
Yeah, and I think they did a great job with it. I think they managed to put in balanced weapons for if you play core. And even like the killstreaks, there's a ton of killstreaks to choose from, but none of them are overwhelming. So enemies are calling in kill streaks. You're not getting just bombarded like you were before in previous Call of Duties, where it steamrolled, you know, in the worst and worst kill streaks. This one, you survive it. It's not a game changer. The action's fast paced. The graphics, I mean, it looks amazing on the X. I mean, this game looks great. It's one of the best looking Call of Duties. And I mean, they had a few hiccups at the start with the headquarters working right, but they got that all sorted out now. And yeah, I'm not surprised that this won first person shooter and best multiplayer game of the year from GRG.
And I'm not really surprised by the three that were listed either. I mean, Call of Duty, Destiny 2, and Battlegrounds. I'm not surprised that those are the three that wound up in both of those categories. For GRG, they're just the type of game that gravitates towards our group, especially now that Call of Duty straightened out their mistakes.
Yeah, I think Destiny lost that area because the Crucible isn't as fun as it was in Destiny 1. It really took a step back, and I think that's what hurt it, because when Destiny 1 was out, we were pretty big in the Crucible, big in the Iron Banner. We would always have multiple rooms running a night. And now, the way they changed up the PvP, we sort of bypass it. We just do it just to do it.
Rumor has it that they're bringing back 6v6 and big maps, though. So we'll see if that happens.
That'd be nice.
Get us back.
All of us.
At least into the PvP.
Well, I'll be back for Destiny 2 with the next Iron Banner, because they changed up a lot of how that's going to work the next one that comes up. So I'll definitely be firing up and playing that for at least the week it's out. I love Iron Banner, so I'll be in there.
Best co-op game brings us right back to Destiny 2. And Jack, you had an executive decision to make on this one, didn't you?
Yes, I did. This was tied with Ghost Recon Wildlands in the votes. And I decided to go with Destiny. I used Grumpkin Overlord power and chose Destiny 2 as the best co-op game, because I just feel that is something that's played more by our members than Ghost Recon. You'll see a lot more players playing Destiny 2. They may not have voted in the forums on it. And I just think overall, that's the correct choice. I think Ghost Recon Wildlands is a great game. A lot of people are playing it. We have groups on every night playing it, but overall, Destiny 2 really deserved that title. We have fire teams running on both PlayStation and Xbox every night. If, you know, one, two, like we have the two Saturday night, they have the two raids going with Valiant's group.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is true. We did get, you know, the raids are making a little bit of a comeback. And I think you're right. I think this is the more played co-op game. You know, probably the only other one that's close right now would be Battlegrounds, which was the third runner up.
That was PC, and PC's not as big in GRG. We have a good sized amount of PC players. We just, now that's out for Xbox, that would change, but this poll was going out before the release of PUBG.
Yeah, right Xbox. Around the release, so it didn't, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what, I run the site, I have to have some perks, so that's why I decided to step in and overrule. But yeah, I feel it was the correct decision.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you as well. I think Ghost Recon Wildlands is really good fun to play with others, and there certainly were some people in GRG that were playing it, but it didn't really have the legs. It kind of died out. It didn't have PvP at launch. That didn't help. And Destiny 2, as many complaints as there's been about it, like you say, there's still people playing it now, still GRG members playing it now and playing it together, because it's always more fun like that.
So. Yeah. All right, best action or adventure game goes to the PS4 exclusive Horizon Zero Dawn. This was a big title, especially for PlayStation in 2017, and got rave reviews. Players love it. Runners up were the new South Park game, The Fractured But Whole, and Zelda Breath of the Wild. Let's see. I've watched a lot of streams of it, so I have some thoughts on what I've seen of it now. Unobtainables, you've got a little more experience there, right?
Yeah. So I've played Horizon Zero Dawn all the way through. I haven't played the DLC yet. And that did come out in right near the end of 2017. So I guess mm-hmm. it kind of could be counted in the review. But I think, to be honest, I think although that was good, it had strong reviews as well. I think Horizon Zero Dawn just by itself, even if there hadn't been any DLC, still would have won. I think the base game itself was still huge, still, you know, hugely loved. I think it did everything right. It had compelling storyline mm-hmm. with original plot that just kind of dragged you through all the way. it had good gameplay. It had, you know, I was going to say gunplay, but really your main weapon was a bow. I mean, there were some kind of projectile type weapons, but you know, they had varied weapons. They had new gear you could get. There was side missions to do. There was interesting side characters that were, you know, kind of fleshed out. Just, yeah, it did everything right. And it was brand new IP, which is obviously always a, you know, to an extent at risk every time that it's tried. But yeah, I was compelled all the way through. I think for about 50% of the game, I played everything. I played every side mission. I did every little bit I could. And I got to about halfway and I realized how much more of the map was left. And I was a little bit fatigued, but I think that's mostly because I hadn't really put it down. So I was just, it was my own fault really, but I was really, I genuinely just wanted to know what was going on with the story. And I was so like driven to find out what was going on and what actually was happening. I'm trying not to reveal anything here. But I really wanted to find out the ending of that. That I just kind of sped through the second half a little bit more. I avoided some of the side missions. I just kind of went through doing the main plot just to get to the end. But even when I'd finished it, I looped back around and because you still can. I can't remember quite how it works. If you have to load a save or if you can just keep playing. I think the latter. But anyway, I came around and did most of the side missions again just to kind of finish them through because they were all really good. That was still enjoyable, and there was another side mission that a lot of people said was worth doing, so I went and did that as well. But I just, you know, I never want to give anything a 10 out of 10, but it, I can't really fault the game in any way.
One of the most impressive aspects I saw of it was the voice acting. I just, you know, I mean, that was like Uncharted levels of great voice acting. You know, that's always been the hallmark of the Uncharted series, and this one really picked up in that respect. I mean, sometimes you get some areas where the voice acting gets a little flaky and it kind of seems like it's all kind of glued together or whatever, but they really, that was really stunning how great that voice acting was, and I think it really helped the story.
Yeah, I think that's true, and to an extent it might sound harsh almost, but it's one of those things, if it's bad, you really notice it and it can really pull a title down. Mm-hmm. But if it's really good, it's almost not obvious necessarily, because it's so seamless that it's not obvious unless you're really looking for it. But you're right, it really does. It really helps the story. It really drives the narrative. You know, because otherwise you've just basically got animated characters on a screen and script lines coming out of their mouths. And you know, if that's bad, it can just seem wooden. It can just seem, I don't know, like poor, and it can just keep dragging you out of the world. You're really immersed in the gameplay. You're really loving it. You go and talk to some NPC and then it just suddenly crashes down just a little bit to knock you off course. And it kind of makes you, you know, not want to engage with them in that way. Whereas if it's good, then it's solid and it just adds to it and keeps you immersed.
I go back to, as much as I love this series, some of the voice acting in Fallout 3 is some examples of what drug you right out of the game, because some of it was so good and some of it was so awful that I remember that as one of the titles that really jarred me, especially last gen. And I think one of the first ones that really jarred me in that respect, how bad it could take you out, especially because there was contrast.
Yeah, just real quick on that, and I know Adam Tano's mentioned it before, like I like the fact that a new intellectual property game, IP, won. You know, if the runners up were Assassin's Creed, which were like what, into the 50th version of that, and Call of Duty World War II. I mean, you know, it's, well, I enjoy Call of Duty World War II. It's nothing groundbreaking, it's nothing new. It's Call of Duty. So I really like to see a new game. I like to see new games be developed. And I was kind of happy that this one won, even though it's probably a game I'll never play. It's on PlayStation and single player. But it's nice to see that.
Yep. And well, and that games. And that takes us to our last category, which is best game of 2017. And we're just going to go right over it because it is the same game. Yeah. You gave us the runners up for that. But best game of 2017 did go to Horizon Zero Dawn. And I will say I was a little surprised by that because the, we still have a little heavier Xbox presence than PlayStation presence, but it was still good to see a new IP, like you said, Jack, a new IP get that, you know, the best action game and best game overall as voted by members of GRG.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of guys that have Xbox and PlayStation that voted. So they'll play mostly Xbox multiplayer, but they'll play like PlayStation single player games and the exclusive for PlayStation. So I think that's where Horizon Zero Dawn got all those votes.
Thank you, right?
Because we have, the other two titles, it wasn't even close. It was a clear winner.
Yeah, and that's not surprising. I mean, PlayStation's always had great exclusives. It's a great console. I have it for two reasons: baseball, because it's the best baseball game you can get, and exclusives, I can't wait for Spider-Man. That's my most anticipated 2018.
Well, as a little teaser, next article for the site is going to be games GRG are looking forward to in 2018.
Yep. And so I've got a handful there, and
I started working on that right now. So,
and actually, my most anticipated is very PlayStation heavy.
So you're going to turn on your PlayStation then.
There's going to be some good games, especially, if they all release. I'm still wondering about Detroit, whether that'll release in 2018 or not. But David Cage, I love his games, but he tends to drag them out.
teaser, one of the titles is Crackdown 3. I think that's been promised every year since Xbox launched.
So, mm-hmm.
Xbox One launched.
Yeah.
Was this a launch title or something? I don't know. I forget, it's been so many years.
Yeah, I think it was like supposed to be a first year title at one point, but it was supposed to be the cloud. Now it's all about Scorpio. So, all right. Well, you know what? Great article, first off. Really like the article. Again, check that out on the front page of GrimReaperGamers.com. And, like Jack said, the next thing is going to be most anticipated of 2018. Now we turn the page. So check for that in the forums at forums.grimreapergamers.com to get your vote and get your voice heard. And we'll probably be featuring that on possibly the next show. I don't know. Yeah. You think that's going to be done in that time frame?
I think I'm going to have it done this week.
Okay.
I'm shooting for like Friday release.
So we can maybe aim for that for the next show. Talk about that a little bit. So. All right. Valiant, thank you for being on as a new, relatively new member of GRG. Appreciate having you on. I thought you did a great job. Seemed pretty seamless having you on there. And thanks for coming in on a pinch with Jammer not feeling well. And also the same as well to Unobtainables. Appreciate you coming on in a short notice.
No worries.
Thanks for having us.
So look forward to having you guys again on soon.
Why don't you thank me?
I'm going to thank
you, Lala.
That's going to be next. I was going to thank you for taking up the number two duties.
Liar.
I did not intend for it somehow. No, thank you very much for coming in and for the article and getting this all set up for us to talk about on the show.
Published now.
You're published. There you go. Published. We want to welcome new members to the clan. We've had another influx, had some good recruiting going on, and some of the guys coming in to join us and take out some of the Christmas noobs. Glad to have you all along for the ride. Yeah, enjoy GRG.
We've got a steady stream of people. It's just a constant stream coming in lately. I don't know where they're coming from. I guess the Googles are doing us well. People are searching for us, finding us.
It's all those articles.
Yeah, they're pouring in, yeah.
Yeah, there's at least four noobs in Destiny in the past 2 weeks. Yeah. People that have joined. Two of them were, I remember Glacier was on for Destiny 2, and another one that we just, that was in our, in my raid group, the second group on Saturday. So there's those two, and then somebody else I played with this week. It was just, you know, they were on and they joined. So it's kind of cool. I think as other clans die, they're finding people that are active, which is us.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, one of the formulas I try to do is I try to make sure that the Wednesday nights are always kicked off, and then we try to run a few activities during the week, and you just consistency. You always just follow through with it. You're going to say, you say you're going to run a night, follow through with it, run it. And I just kind of hope that the members follow suit and they invite people to their parties. They see a new member join, make sure you add them to your friends list and get them into the party. So you have like five guys who are playing Call of Duty, invite the new guy in and get them part of the group. And next thing you know, your friends list grows. I think I'm like at 600 people on my friends list at the moment. So it's like massive. There's no reason for anybody here not to. It's easy.
Yep. Real easy to fill that friends list when you got so many players on all sides of the spectrum. So next show is going to be recorded on the 16th, and hopefully we'll be talking about what we're looking forward to in 2018. Going to be another exciting year for gaming. 2017 was great. 2018 might even be better.
Hopefully.
Hope so.
Some big titles coming.
Yes, there are. Going to be some big stuff coming. So our Facebook page is facebook.com/GrimReaperGamers, and I got to say the Twitter handle myself for once. It is at grgamers.com. Spell out the dot. If I mess that up, I am going to so hear it from Jammer in a couple weeks. And also, we have an email address, reapercast@grimreapergamers.com. So if you have comments, if you don't agree with our 2017 list, let us know. We might even feature you. The more expletives, the better. All right, guys, thanks a lot for being on the show. Really appreciate it. I had a good little recap of 2017, and now we move to 2018. So it's time to look forward. For Jack, for Valiant, for Unobtainables, this is Johnny Hustler saying, stay safe, take care, and never game alone.